goes. Liverpool, the mentality monsters, yet again in abundance. Going a goal down early to a Danny Welbeck strike. Luis Diaz got Liverpool level. And in the second half, Alexis McAllister with a Xabi Alonso, Stevie G assist into Mo Salah's path. Left foot rolled it into the bottom corner for the winner in the end. Salah could have scored three or four today. Diaz had a goal disallowed for the most marginal of offside decisions. But the boys dug deep out there. They really did. Alexis McAllister was magnificent. The best player on that pitch. He ran that game. Some of his passing was brilliant. It's all over in half an hour to Arsenal City. We go 3 points clear at the top. We're putting the pressure on. It's 9 games to go. We're still right in it. Liverpool 2, Brighton 1.
Yes, it was an action-packed encounter at Anfield as Liverpool came from behind to beat Brighton and Hove Albion 2-1 and maintain their pursuit of the Premier League title. I'm Rob Jones and you're listening to The Reaction. I was joined down pitchside for the post-match show on LFC TV by former Reds Gary Gillespie and David James, while Steve Hunter was joined on commentary by LFC ambassador Natasha Dowie. We also heard from Jurgen Klopp, Alexis McAllister and Connor Bradley with their thoughts on the game. Let's get into the analysis, though, with Gary and David.
I think, obviously, Brighton scoring so early was a bit of a setback for Liverpool, but I think overall, I think the expectation within the stadium was that Liverpool were always going to get back into it. And I think they showed us enough in that first 45 minutes that they were more than capable of doing that. I think it was a decent performance from Liverpool. But at this stage of the season, I don't think it's all about performance, it's about results. And Liverpool did what they had to do. They had to put pressure on Manchester City and Arsenal. They've done that, so I think the manager will be more than happy with the job that they've done.
You mentioned it pre-match, David, that this is a squad, maybe even a set of supporters now, that don't panic when Liverpool fall behind.
Yeah. I also think you can score too early. Something I often get criticised about. I don't think the game plan for any team is to go out and score the first goal in the first 3 minutes. And when you do, it's what do you do next? And what we saw from Brighton was not a lot. As I say, I don't think at any point Liverpool thought we can't win this game. The thing I'm disappointed about when you bring up my stats is they didn't score after the 75th minute. But they had their chances. Mo in particular had a number of chances. But I just think that, as well as Brighton do certain things, they were never good enough to beat Liverpool today. They're fantastic at getting out of their own box, getting to the halfway line and giving possession away. That was sort of systematic of the way that Brighton played. I thought Quanta was good in defence for Liverpool. I thought Mo, with the amount of shots he had, like Gary was saying, I think it was a good performance in the end. All that was needed was the win, and they got it.
I think we're going to see plenty of emotion from Jurgen Klopp between now and the end of the season, but the usual fist pumps in front of the Kop at the end. He will know that this is a big one because, as we spoke about before the match, Brighton have given his team plenty of problems over the years.
Yeah, I think this was a potential banana skin. I think you just need to look at the games in recent seasons against Brighton. They've always been tough, especially here at Anfield as well. I think they've drawn the last couple of games, 2-2 and 3-3. Always expected there to be goals in the game. I expected Brighton to score, maybe not as early as what they did do, but I always felt that Liverpool, as we've seen right throughout the course of the season so far, they're more than capable of scoring goals, and I think they're never out of them. And as Jamo actually says, there's always a belief that this team are going to score, and that's exactly what they did. And in all fairness, had they taken the right pass at the right time or made the right decision at the right time, it could have been more convincing. Brighton kind of puffed a bit a little, but in the second half, late, it was only till late on that Kelleher really had any saves to make in that second half.
And a significant result, David, given that Brighton are the kingmakers this season, this title race.
Yeah, go on, thanks for that, yeah. the problem leading into the game is that you know that Brighton can do things, and they have done it, as you say, since 2019, Liverpool haven't beaten them here. So they're capable of coming here and causing a problem. And when they score early, there's a side of you think, oh, maybe this is the day they do it again. But I've seen enough of Liverpool this season to say that they're not going to panic. And Brighton are away where, again, this is their eighth defeat away from home out of 9 defeats this season. Arsenal and Manchester City have, as I say, to go to the Amex. You'll have a different Brighton team to contend with. Well, Liverpool don't have to worry about that now. They've got them out of the way. The other two, who are, as you say, playing in 15 minutes' time, still have to go there, and they're going to have big impact on the outcome of the winners.
But actually, on a wider point, Gary, before today, Liverpool had dropped points in 7 of their previous 8 matches against the current top 8. And given that they've still got to play Spurs, Villa, Manchester United, this was one of those games in that bracket that felt really important to pick up points against not quite the teams around them, but some of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, I think coming into the game as well, I think Brighton would have come here with a bit of confidence, with the belief that they know that they can come here and get a result. So that's always going to be difficult from Liverpool's point of view. And Liverpool have got big games to come up, as you rightly say. I think Spurs, I disagree with Jamie a little bit, that Brighton are like the title deciders. I think Spurs will be like the one to cause an awful lot of problems.
Told you it was Spurs, didn't I?
No, it only moves on now. I mean, they're going out of the way because Liverpool beat them.
But no, I think, as we've seen before, like Brighton have got the capability of like causing you problems. But I thought Liverpool went about the business really well. There was a lot to like about Liverpool's performance. The intensity was always there from the more or less the start of the game, even although Brighton scored so early. And I think you could sense, you know, manager fist pumping little challenges from Szoboszlai and his players, like, you know, closing down, winning balls in good areas of the pitch. But it's then when we won the balls at in the areas of the pitch, we've got to be a little bit more productive, we've got to be a little bit more clinical, make the right decision a little bit more. We saw that against Manchester United as well, where we let ourselves down. And I think we could have easily like got through that tie against Manchester United had we been a little bit more clinical in front of goal. And a bit similar again today. But in saying that, I think here at Anfield, when you get the crowd behind us, I thought the crowd were fantastic today. I think there was a bit of a special atmosphere in here today, and it certainly helped the lads on to get the victory.
Let's pick our way through the game then, David. Gary mentioned a couple of times an early goal. It's the earliest any team has gone in front at Anfield since Harry Kane scored here for Tottenham in October 2019. It's a brilliant finish as well from Danny Welbeck. I don't think we can point too many fingers at Kevin Keller for that one.
No, there was a number of factors as well. I think first of all, we lost possession in the Brighton half, and it was a quick counter-attack. There's the ball cut back, just trying to remember, I laid back on the edge of the box. I think it was a couple of ricochets or something before it fell to Welbeck. And I think Virgil's gone to sort of half block it, and as Welbeck hits it, it's sort of like on the bounce as well. So Kelleher, absolutely no chance whatsoever. I don't often say that about goalies, but I just think with this, the ferocity of the shot, you'd think Danny Welbeck was like in form at the moment, and it's Lewis Dunk for the Brighton, but he is a dangerous goal scorer, and he proved it in the third minute, but that was about it.
And then after that, it was perhaps pretty frantic for a while. Liverpool couldn't quite get control of the game after that for a good few minutes.
Yeah, I think in certain ways that might suit Liverpool up, because they like to play with that energy and that enthusiasm and, you know, getting people forward and like closing people down, winning balls and winning tackles, making challenges. And you kind of felt that it was a little bit hectic and a little bit frantic. Maybe like the game needed just to slow down a little bit. I thought McAllister played a big part in that as well. Every time that he was in possession, he always seemed to be like the man to pick the right pass at the right time. And I thought he was exceptional today. I thought he had one of his best games for Liverpool. But all round, I think Liverpool maybe just had a little bit too much for a Brighton side that certainly I've got skills and got like their own threats, but I think Liverpool overall, they kind of dominated the game for me, and Brighton second half were a little bit disappointing, but overall I think the manager will be happy with the result, if not the performance. I think he'll be happy with the performance because, as I say, I thought it was decent.
We'll get a word on the two Liverpool goals in just a moment. First, let's get the thoughts of Conor Bradley, who's been speaking to Peter McDowell.
Well, Conor, congratulations. I think the manager said in the lead-up to this it'll be 10 cup finals at least now. It felt like that watching it. What was it like to play in?
Yeah, it was a very tough game. Obviously, it was disappointing to go 1-0 down so early, but I thought our reaction after the goal was brilliant, and I think we created so many chances today. Probably could have scored more on another day, but no, we're buzzing with the win.
It was almost too early to react to it, wasn't it? But that was the way this team do react. You know, it was a really good response, like you alluded to there. I think it was 14 shots in the first half.
Yeah, it was a perfect response from the goal. Obviously, if you're going to concede early, I don't think it's too bad. You got loads of time to recover from it. So, no, I thought the response after it was brilliant. And yeah, the chances you said we created was really good. Probably another day we took away a few more, but no, we're happy with the result.
Was that the message at half time from the manager then, just to be patient?
Yeah, just to be patient, probably a bit more composure in the final third. I think we lost a few chances, myself included. So, yeah, just to be a bit more composed in the final third, and when it does come, just to take the chance. And I think we've done that second half.
It was such a difficult job for you on the day, obviously having to bomb forward, but there was a big threat down your side as well.
Yeah, he was really good. So he was down my side, and yeah, it was a it was a difficult game, but no, really good. I like test myself against these type of players. It's good for me, and it's a good learning experience. So no, really happy with how it went.
There could have been probably 11 or 12 different candidates for man of the match today. McAllister seems to get most people's votes. Give us an insight into, you know, his insight into the way Brighton play, but also the quality he offers on the ball, his pressing, everything about his game.
Yeah, he's just an unbelievable footballer. I've never seen someone retain the ball so well, and he's so calm on the ball and he's so composed. So, you know, he's just a wonderful footballer and he's a joy to play with. And yeah, I can't praise him enough, to be honest.
When you're in a game like that, you get the second goal, and then it looks as though it's going to be straightforward. There's VAR checks, there's penalty appeals, there's all kinds going on, and almost that pressure to press for the third goal. But sometimes just keeping the ball is the best option.
Yeah, it's a bit of both. You just got to know the times where we have to keep the ball, sort of kill the game a bit, and then sometimes when it's open, we have to go and try to get that third. And I think we got the balance of that really well today. Obviously, as I said, on another day, we probably could have got a third or fourth, but we'll take the 2-1 win and the 3 points.
It's been an unbelievable week for you, for club and for country. You're probably getting used to it now, though. These weeks have been like that since you broke into the team.
I know, it's been a mental couple of months, and obviously last week's been really good. Obviously getting the first goal from a country was special, and then obviously to come back to Liverpool and get the 3 points, I'm really happy, and I just want to keep going there.
Nobody's looking at the league table, certainly not in that dressing room at the moment, but it's a massive week now, isn't it? Sheffield United to come, Manchester United next weekend.
Yeah, the games just keep coming, so we just got to keep prepared, keep focused, and just keep going, and yeah, hopefully keep winning.
Yeah, keep winning, that is the plan, and as Pete said, two games to come next week, but let's talk about the one this afternoon and the equalising goal. A little bit of fortune in it, David, in the fact it takes a deflection off Joel Veltman, but Luis Diaz still finishes the job.
Yeah, it was sort of a bit of persistence, wasn't it, from the corner, the header back from Mo. As you say, there was a little bit of deflection, but all I liked is the fact that Diaz didn't even think about that, he was just going in anyway. He was onside, I think, from the original header, but the fact that he was in a position to get on the end of it was a nice finish. And unfortunately for Werder Bruggen, Verbruggen, that'll do. he was left in no man's land essentially, because the deflection fell so nicely for Diaz to finish. But it was well worked in the end.
But it was a big talking point from the last home game here against Manchester City, that the big thing, I mean, he will be an absolute world beater, Luis Diaz, if he gets the end product sorted out, because everything else is there.
Yes, at times, and I think the win was obviously vitally important, and it was a good win today. There were times that Diaz, Mo had a point for the amount of shots he had. There was a little bit of edge of frustration that you could was sort of creeping in, I think, from the supporters as well. Because, like you said, you've got all this talent put in positions where you expect them to do a little bit more, and it doesn't happen. However, the fact that they got so many opportunities and were still able to win, it doesn't matter too much today. But as you say, I mean, Luis Diaz is one player who can change games.
Yeah, I think one thing that you see about like both Mohamed Salah and Luis Diaz is like they've got tons of ability, but they have persistence as well, don't they? They keep going and nothing seems to like get them down. And I think that's a great trait to have as a professional footballer.
Yeah, I think persistence is certainly the word for Mo Salah. 12 shots he had today, the most in a Premier League game on record for a Liverpool player, the most in the top flight since Zlatan Ibrahimovic in October 2016. As he said, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Is that 12 tries?
I don't know, I got bored, and probably everyone else did as well.
No, but I mean, that's what goal scorers are all about. And I think, you know, he can frustrate the hell out of you at times, Mohamed Salah. But again, we were talking about it in the build-up to this match, that you just look at his stats and like there's no argument. He's got to be a starter for the first 11 at all every week. But I mean, fantastic. I mean, he comes out of this game that, you know, I wouldn't say it was his best game, but then he has a goal, he has an assist. He could always almost had another assist with the goal that got chopped off in the second half for offside, which was a wonderful slide rule pass. And I think it was Diaz as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he could easily have had two assists and a goal in a game, which, you know, he didn't really figure that much, to be quite honest with you, other than the 12 shots here.
Yeah, we've got the graphic that sort of plots the way to that winning goal from Mo Salah. The key ball is the final ball, David, from Alexis McAllister, which is glorious.
It is, and it, what you can't quite see in this graphic is the obviously the movement and McAllister's lack of movement in a way that allowed the game to go past him. He held in free space and then passed him through to Mo. And Mo's finish was superb. I mean, touch and left foot, typical Mo, left foot, bottom right hand corner for the goalkeeper. Excellent. But what I did like about today, and we're going quickly popping back to the graphic and Mo's 12 shots, is not many of the shots were outside the box. And I know in the Manchester United game, Jürgen was very frustrated with the amount of shots or the short shot choices that players were taking. These were opportunities with inside the box, and a lot of blocks were involved as well. It wasn't just haphazard shooting from anywhere. So there was a method to the outcome, and the finisher we saw with that graphic there was probably the best moment in the game. As you say, McAllister, who was influential in so many different ways, I think the second highest shot taker for Liverpool today. Maybe something to do with his old team, I don't know.
We'll hear from him, maybe he'll tell us after the break. But the point about Salah, which we made before the match, likes playing against Brighton. That graphic can be updated now. He also likes playing at Old Trafford, so we hope this theme of, you know, hitting what we expect from him against certain opposition or at certain grounds will continue against Manchester United, and maybe he can go back to the top with Manchester United.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk a bit Mohamed Salah and having games and teams that he likes playing against, his stats would suggest that he likes playing against an awful lot of teams. No one likes the sight of him. I think his record against Manchester United is good as well. He always seems to struggle against Shaw. Luke Shaw for whatever reason,
which you won't be seeing next week.
He's been out for a wee while, hasn't he? So, he's a top international player, Mohamed Salah, and to score 21, well, that's 22 goals now again in a season where he's got 10, 11 games, maybe even more left remaining in the season. He's going to score again.
And right? Having missed time with both AFCON and an injury, yeah. Given that he had 12 shots today, David, and Manchester United gave up 31 shots against Brentford last night, he'd probably be having a good few pops next weekend at Old Trafford, I would suspect.
Yeah, the thing that we have to be careful of is similar to the last time that these two faced, and that was here obviously at Anfield, where everyone expected Liverpool to run away with it because Man United, got beaten the week before. Liverpool had loads and loads of shots, but I don't think Onana was overly tested because a lot of the shot choices were the wrong ones, as I mentioned before. I think if most of what we saw today in chance creation is there at Old Trafford, then it doesn't need Mo to have 12 shots, but there'll be enough shots to win the game. It's as long as they can create those chances. And I think, the frustration was that there was a couple of shots that Mo had, which were like one-on-ones with a goalie, which were tamed by most standards. And you think, I think at the time it was 1-1 as well, which adds to that little level. But then as soon as he scores the one which becomes the winner, it's all fine.
We alluded to it as well, that Liverpool have won from behind for the seventh time this season. It is now 26 points from losing positions. And I guess it goes hand in hand almost, that if you have that firepower, you always feel alive in a game. And as David said, given that Brighton scored so early, they had pretty much the whole game to get back into it. But those forward players just give you a chance. Loro would always say when he was with us, you know, you'd always rely on Ian Rush or Kenny Dalglish just to do something. That's what he said. They'd do something at some point.
Well, the key about being a successful football club, in my opinion, is having players in the right sort of areas of the pitch that deliver. And that's like obviously your front three, but Liverpool got probably five. You throw Gakpo into the equation there as well. And I know Gakpo's not everybody's cup of tea, but you look at his goals return this season. He's been, well, not prolific, but he's certainly chipped in, I think, 11 or 12 goals this season already. So throw him into the mix as well. Diogo Jota's missed a heck of a lot of games as well. He's like in double figures as well. So everybody seems to be able to chip in. And I remember doing a programme earlier on in the season with Jan Mulby, and the fact that, you know, Jürgen was maybe criticised a little bit about buying top end of the players, like a bit top end heavy. But what they do is like they deliver, and they've scored an awful lot of goals, like when you go through the stats. And that certainly is the case, like when you look at like everything, the games throughout the course of the season. We're not like a team that's ever out of the game, because you always feel, regardless who the personnel is, we always feel as if we're going to score.
Hello there. Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure you give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Gary, how impressed were you with Alexis McAllister against his former club today?
Well, I thought he was brilliant. Both receiving the ball, the fact that he kind of dominated the way that Liverpool wanted to play, dictated the pace of Liverpool's play as well. And the pass to Mohamed Salah in the second half for his goal was sublime. Not many players would see that pass. He had a couple of passes, I think one again inside the fullback when Conor Bradley went on the overlap. Again, sensational. But not just his ability to pick the right pass. Combative as well. I think got yourself stuck in, won a lot of challenges, won a lot of duels. And that's what you need as a Liverpool like midfield player at this moment in time. You have to be in people's faces, and he was. And when you get possession, you have to be able to use it. And I think there's none better so in the Premier League at this moment in time than Alexis McAllister.
Well, let's see what the man himself made of it. Alexis McAllister with Pete.
Well, Macca, give us an insight from the dressing room at the moment. That felt like a massive 3 points today.
Yeah, amazing 3 points, because we know their level. They are a very good team. You can see the start of the game wasn't good for us, but then we kept in the game. You can see that mentality from the boys, and it's nice that we won the 3 points.
There was no panic, was there, even though you conceded very early? It was, you know, do the things that you do. You've come behind from so many deficits like that.
Yeah, I think we dealt very well with that, because in the first 15-20 minutes you could see that maybe the fans were a little bit in a rush, but we kept calm, and we did the things that we had to do. We kept the ball, and we kept playing. So it's nice. It's nice to see that mentality will help us, and it's nice that we won the 3 points again.
You always have that faith as a team, don't you, that you keep doing the things that you do so well, that you will come back into the game and put pressure on the opposition?
Yes, of course. But at the same time, I would rather not to start losing. But it's part of football. But as I say, we dealt very well with it, and I think the boys are amazing.
What is the mentality when you're playing against Brighton and you go a goal behind? Because nobody knows that team better than you.
Yeah, as I say, I know the capacity to play football, their level. I think they did an amazing game as well. But we have our players. We have really good players. Most mentalities is something different. So the faith was there, and it's nice that we scored the goals.
That's the most goals he's ever had, most shots rather, he's ever had in a Premier League game, Mo Salah today. You set him up for his goal. It was a great team goal, that as well, to go 2-1 up.
Yeah, it was a great team goal. The ball from Dom was very good as well. A little bit hard, but it was a good ball, and then a good touch. And when I saw Mo, that I just played the ball, and when he's there, 90% of the chances he scores.
The other end of the pitch, defensively, again they were resolute from the goalkeeper. But again, young Jarrell Kwanza, who, you know, I think he won all interceptions. Was looking at his stats: most passes, most interceptions, most recoveries on the pitch today.
Yeah, he was amazing. I think the job they did with Birch is so important for the team, because it gives us that calmness that we need to play football, even on the ball. He was amazing, so very happy and very glad for him.
9 games to go, maybe 14 if we go the entire distance. The energy inside this ground today, people are starting to believe, but the players won't be looking at that league table at the moment, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course, but we need to go game by game. I think we need to focus in ourselves, not in other teams. But yeah, the team is there. We want to win trophies this season, because we wanted to make it special as well for Jürgen. So we are in a good way, and we want to keep like that.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
There's a point that Gary touched on, David, that he was further up the pitch. We touched on it pre-match as well, that Utaro Endo gives Alexis McAllister that ability to get on the ball in more dangerous areas rather than being too worried about protecting the back four as much.
Yes, and I think it's easy standing here talking about it, but Brighton didn't really create that many chances, especially until late on in the game where it got a little bit interesting with the 2-1 lead. But because Brighton didn't really have the possession up front, getting out of their box to the halfway line, losing possession allowed McAllister as well to have possession in Brighton's half a lot of the time. But like Gary said, I think he found space very well. I think his passing was top draw. Also his defending. I mean, that's one thing with him. I think when he first came to the club, everyone was used to Fabinho or Jordan Henderson and the energy in their defensive actions, whereas McAllister seems quite slight in his way. It's quite nice to see him. He doesn't actually look too physical, but still effective, very effective. And I thought he did that today.
And that ability to pick a pass. I mean, we all think about Brighton as quite open, quite attacking, which they are, but they were really sort of tight in terms of their organisation. The banks of two fours or a four and a three. Mm-hmm. It takes a good player to find a little way through that, as he did for the goal for Salah.
Yeah, but it's the range of passing that he has as well. I mean, the one he makes for Salah is along the ground. He had two in the first half, I think, where he's on the edge of the box and he chips it. He just flights it in for Conor Bradley, I think.
It was that big diag as well, wasn't it, to Salah?
Yeah, and he's got, like, as I say, the range of passing, he's got it all, to be quite honest with you. He is slight in stature, but he's stocky, he's strong. Mm. But he's not the quickest, as we can see. But like, if when you're playing in that sort of position, you just have to have awareness and like know what's about you. And we're talking about Curtis Jones in the build-up. I mean, if Curtis Jones wants to improve and get better, just watch Alexi McAllister. He's got a vision where everybody is before the ball comes to him. So he knows if he's under pressure, if he's like tightly marked, he's got a get-out clause because he knows where everybody is. He can knock it off first time or he can hold on to it. And when he does hold on to it, he's difficult to knock it off because he is so strong. And that low centre of gravity that he has, he can twist and weave and bob and get away from people and then create that little bit of space for himself. And obviously, like, when he gets that little bit of space, he breaks that like the lines and gets onto the back four of the opposition.
Virgil van Dijk was talking this week about the intensity of a title race. Pete referenced it with Conor Bradley, that there were 10 cup finals to come. The significance of someone like Alexis McAllister, who has played in a World Cup final, mm-hmm. The importance that big game now could be huge in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I don't mind Virgil talking about games being cup finals because he knows how to win cup finals. A lot of teams do this and they've never won anything, so they end up losing. But yeah, everything about him when he's playing, even in his interviews, there's nothing which worries you about McAllister. He's so calm and I think reassuring. And again, this is something that I think was a bit of a surprise for me as a Liverpool supporter, watching him coming in with Endo in particular, because the two of them were very similar in their understated manner, dare I say. But they're so effective. And I think they've just basically told people in performance, this is what we do and this is how we do it well. As you say, 10 cup finals from Mr. Experience, Mr. World Cup winner. Conor Bradley, you're talking about Curtis Jones having a look at him as a player. Yeah. I think Conor Bradley look at him as the person and how he handled himself in pressure situations.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because at the beginning of the season, I mean, a lot of Liverpool fans were looking at like Alexi McAllister and saying, well, where is his best position? Is it the number 6 or is it the number 10? And we didn't quite see the best of him for quite a number of games. And it was Szoboszlai that was catching all the headlines and everybody was saying how great a player Szoboszlai, what a great signing he was. And McAllister went under the radar a little bit. But now, as he's gradually gone on in the season, I think you can see emerging that like him, Virgil van Dijk, big characters in the team, big important players that you can play on big stages. And if you're going to win Premier League titles or you're going to win Europa League Cups and things like that, you have to have big players for the occasion, and he's certainly a big player.
Big player for the occasion, a big manager as well for Liverpool in the coming weeks, his final weeks as Liverpool manager. Let's get the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp.
I did say before the game it was the first of 10 cup finals. It felt like a cup final, particularly the last quarter of the game.
Yeah, look, it's not great when you concede after 90 seconds of 1-0. The good news is 97 minutes roundabout to turn it around. And I didn't see any kind of rush in our build-up and stuff like this. I loved it a lot. We were in possession. It was the best game against Brighton with Roberto Di Serbi, definitely. We really controlled it in a way we didn't do before. and we had much more than we usually have. Then in against the ball, we were really calm, set the trick in the right moment, really compact, incredible game of the boys. Center with Makai and Vataro, really good. Dom, like a fireball jumping out there and create the chaos. Like that a lot. But in the final third, you could see that we are one and down. It's like, you know, a bit in a rush, not to our standards. Scored a goal anyway after set piece. Nice goal, Lucho, really cool. And then we told the boys, we showed, but we had really good situations to show how we have to defend. There were one, two moments where we could have done it better. A little adaptations. In possession, we did really well and were calm. I know that's new for us in the stadium. Maybe just a bit bright and like, wait a little bit, but you have to. You have to give yourself the chance to move and to offer. And then we score an outstanding goal. Dom Soboslai fires the ball inside. Maka controls this with one touch. I mean, the second touch, he thought he puts it on Mo's plate. And Mo finished it off absolutely great. Yeah. Would have loved the 3-1, yeah. The 4-1, yes. But it's not now, obviously, not dreamland. So we have to make sure that we get it over the line, what we did. They had chances. I heard now Adam was the big chance. I didn't even know that he was it. And obviously a great save from Kvief. Wow, it was like really, it was long in the air and you could see it really well. And then the final second, the arm was there. So all good, as far as I know, was intense, but nobody got hurt. 3 points, let's keep going.
You mentioned Adam Lallana before. He took Alexis McAllister into their dressing room. I mean, they would wish to still have him. You do have him. What a footballer to have in the centre of midfield.
Yeah, either way. Yeah. Having Adam Lallana still was not bad as well. I spoke to Millie, but these guys, hey, that's all what I always wanted. You see them and you cannot stop smiling, and it's really such the memories we have together is just incredible. But yes, ripping McAllister out of this team, but all respect, not only him, Chelsea took Caicedo. That was the engine room of this team, and they now have other players there, and they do really well. And the third one, Billy Gilmore, is badly injured. So with all knowing that, what a heck of a job he's doing there. It's really insane. So happy that we have Maka now. And when I saw after the game, when I went to the cop, and in front of me were Maka and Endo, like, got eye contact and how they looked at each other. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you could probably easily make a 95-minute movie, love movie about it. That was so great. They enjoy really to play with each other. Now Curtis is coming back, super important. He is ready to go from actually today on. Others not far away, so let's see what we can do.
You talked about mentality monsters before. How does this Liverpool 2 mentality monsters compare with the previous?
You cannot use that phrase too often. Otherwise, you soften it. That should not happen. Yeah, there are a lot of mentality tasks still waiting. Yeah. So we have to go through that together. And with together, I mean together, all of us. I love the crowd today. I honestly loved it. It's how we responded, how the people responded. It was really great. Atmosphere was outstanding. It was a rather good moment today, you know. Take the 3 points, put them on, and how I said, keep going and give it a proper try.
Yeah. On we go. Well done, boss. Excellent.
Yeah, on we go, and on Liverpool go at Anfield. 32 games unbeaten now here in all competitions. We've spoken about some of the standout players today. Gary, we spoke about Jarrell Kwanzaa before the match. She had more touches than any Liverpool player and assured once more.
Again, top-class performance. We're talking about Ibrahima Kanate being a superstar of the future. I mean, this young lad, Kwanzaa, is beginning the season. What was his expectations? Not a great deal, I don't think. Dragged out the under-18s, under-23s or under-21s. And his performances have just elevated him into a different stratosphere, to be quite honest with you. It looks as if the position's his at this moment in time, from what I've seen. He hasn't put a foot wrong. There was two or three occasions where he was under extreme pressure from Brighton players. And he dealt with it like really, really well. And overall, his performances, not just today, but like since he's come into the side, have been absolutely exceptional. There was a point he made about like coming into the side when Joe Matip went out, that he doesn't just want to be a replacement for Joe Matip. He wants to take Joe Matip's place. Well, unfortunately for Joe, he's had a bad injury, but he's elevated himself into a regular first team player now, even at this early stage. I know it was always the case where you had to play at least 100 games before you became a first-team regular, but from what I've seen so far, he's been absolutely astounding.
When we talk about the young players in that defensive line or defensive area of the pitch, we'll include the goalkeeper because I think we said it whilst we were watching the game. At one stage, I couldn't remember the last time he touched the ball with his hands, and about 20 seconds later, he made that very good low save from Lewis Dunk to keep it at 2-1.
Yeah, Lewis Dunk, Brighton's danger man. Yeah, I think that was, I think it was his first save of the game, if I'm not mistaken. I think there was only two saves he made and three shots on target, including the goal. So, it wasn't a game where he had to do massive amounts. Well, more importantly, he didn't do anything to get himself involved in a game which he wasn't involved in. If that makes sense. There's times where people, goalkeepers especially, might want to do a little bit extra, you know, hang up and come for a cross. Not that I would know what that's like. But what he did do, he made the two saves, big ones. He took a couple of crosses, which were important. There was a time where he went down to waste time, saw there was a quick throw on and did the quick throw. I mean, I think the decision-making that he made was spot on again, as we expected today.
But in games like that, how hard actually is it to stay concentrated?
I was fortunate. I mean, my career was a long career, and there were times where I did everything, things right and things wrong, and sometimes I didn't concentrate through 90 minutes. I'd like to think most of the times I did. I think the way the Liverpool play, he'll have periods where he has nothing to do, like hand-wise, but he will have the pass back, and then there'll be a requirement for him to do what he's been told to do with his passing range, which is kick long occasionally, which he did well, or play short. I mean, he has options and he has players. And I think the key thing in this, and I was looking at some of the defensive play today, just the easy stuff, or stuff that looks easy. The key to this is that when he passes to a Liverpool player, that player is more than capable of controlling it. So he doesn't actually feel threatened having to pass to anyone. Mm. And I think in the past, you might have certain players who haven't got those.
Did you feel you were passing to players who couldn't control it, Dave? Is that what you're saying?
Other than Macca,
the players were falling.
but this is the thing. I mean, under pressure, you can put it in an area and there's a good chance that one of these Liverpool players will win it. So I think there's a confidence you get from being able to say, I'll do what the gaffer wants me to do because I know the players that he's asked me to do it with are more than capable of dealing with it.
I think Jamie makes a good point there. I think goalkeepers nowadays are never really out of the game, are they? Or quiet, maybe save-wise, but they're always involved in the game because like, so many times the ball goes back to them and they're there as a kind of a buffer zone for your centre-backs just to pass the ball back to, maybe to make a different angle to start, maybe go from the left side to the right side or vice versa. So, I mean, as much as he wasn't involved like save-wise in the second half, he still saw an awful lot of the ball possession-wise with his feet, and his distribution is normally, in general terms, is pretty useful.
How was Bruce for keeping concentrated?
Well, you'd have to ask Bruce that, but that he would say
from a defender's perspective.
He was a nightmare, to be honest with you. Dave did just mention something like that, and Bruce was always one of these guys that wanted to be involved in the game. So his concentration level was the fact that if he wasn't busy, he wanted to be busy and he needed to be busy. And hence the reason why, you know, he did what he did. Like sometimes you'd see him like the halfway line or like in the left back position or something like that. But that was him. I mean, he made a successful career out of it, didn't he?
Just a quick break in the show to tell you there's never been a better time to show your support for the Reds, whether it's getting kitted out with this season's Nike home strip, checking out the new arrivals to our training range, or if you want to roll back the years with a shirt from our retro range, the Liverpool FC store has everything you need. Right now, there's even savings of up to 50% on this season's away kit while stocks last. Visit a store today, go online at liverpoolfc.com/store or download the official LFC store app to find out what you're looking for. Right, let's get back to the show. We will hear a little bit more from David and from Gary in just a moment, but our commentary team today were Steve Hunter and Natasha Dowie. Let's get their post-match thoughts.
Thank you so much, Rob. Yes, the goal machine, Tasha Dowie, is still with us here today. You know, we always said, and we said it in commentary, Jurgen calls this team the mentality monsters. And I think that was epitomised today. Coming into this on the back of huge disappointment, we're all absolutely gutted what happened at Old Trafford. Going a goal down early, my word, the boys responded.
Absolutely. You know, I think overall it was quite a disappointing performance against United with regards to getting knocked out of a cup. You know, we wanted to win it all. And then, like you said, international break, you know, then conceding so early as well. And things could easily have gone the wrong way today. But this is what I love about this group of players is not once do you see anyone's head dropping. You know, the crowd are still getting behind the players. You trust and believe that the players have enough to get a result today. And we didn't do it the easy way. We never do, Steve, but we got the 3 points. And to be honest right now, Steve, that's all that matters.
Yeah, we've just got to keep winning. It's as simple as that. Keep winning, keep up the pressure, you know. And as the Liverpool mentality, our DNA, isn't it? It's don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Let's concentrate on ourselves.
Yeah, and I think it puts us in a great position right now. We're top of the table. You know, everyone's going to have eyes on the game later on today against Arsenal City. We're hoping for a draw. But like you said, control the controllables. We can only control what we do, which is winning football games. You know, we have 9 cup finals left. If we win those games, let's see where it leaves us.
Now, for the Legends game last week, folks, we had Steven Gerrard gracing the Anfield turf once again, didn't we? I think we saw Alexis McAllister, how good he is. This World Cup winner, some of his passing in the first half, the ball he put to get Conor Bradley on the overlap inside was different gravy. And the assist for Mo's winner was just wow.
I mean, one of the standout, if not the standout performers of the game today. You know, I think we talk about Endo and how important he is for this Liverpool team, but McAllister's so key. You know, without Trent in the team, really for me, there's no one else in the team that can see the passes or execute the passes that he does for us today. And I think Mo's goal today just shows that. The composure, the calmness. He's used to playing in these big games. Yeah, top performance from him.
Great atmosphere as well. We've seen all fans groups calling for everyone to get behind the boys. And we're all in it together. We're loving this.
We absolutely are. We're riding the wave. You know, it's great. It's great to be a fan of Liverpool. It's great to come to Anfield, to see the boys winning. And I believe we can do it.
Certainly do. So 9 games to go. It's not for the faint-hearted, is it?
No, we're going to get more grey hairs, I think.
A great day here at Anfield in the end. Rob, it's all yours.
Tash, Steve, thank you very much indeed. Gabriel Jesus has just gone close for Arsenal at the Etihad, but still 0-0 in that game. It's interesting, they're both speaking there about potentially the stresses of it all, that it's going to be a very tense 9 games. Take me inside the dressing room then, as you got to this point. Were you part of such a group of winners that you didn't feel particularly stressed and thought, well, we do this because we do it every year?
Well, it does help if you've got professionals, good senior professionals, and it does help if you've been at like the course and distance before, which certainly we were at the time. There's pressure on every game, like when you play for Liverpool, but certainly for the run-in. I still think this is a bit early. We're talking about 9 games. I still think that it's a bit early to put like the pressure on at this moment in time. They'll feel pressure. I mean, everybody feels pressure. Like, you know, the expectation levels. We talked about it before, like about Brighton's expectation levels compared to Liverpool's. I mean, it exceeds Brighton's by a million miles. And that's not to take anything away from Brighton, who are a good little well-run football club and have done exceptionally well to be in the position that they're in. But Liverpool, the expectation levels are to be in this position every season, challenging for like major honours. And with that comes a little bit of pressure. But, you know, these guys have been the distance and seen it all before. They're all international players. They're very experienced. They know what it's all about. They know what's expected of them. And fingers crossed that they can deliver.
And on that point about the expectation for Liverpool as a club to be in this position every single season, did you find that tough as a player, particularly in the mid-90s, when actually the team that had the experience of being there were Manchester United and rather than Liverpool?
Yeah, it was tough because we were behind these guys in the sense that they...
Tough act to follow.
Yeah, but I think Gary makes a really good point here that when you've... I can only say this based on what he's just said and what I've seen. You know, when you've done it before, to do it the second time isn't as tough because you haven't broken any new ground in a sense. You just had to, I'm not saying it was easy, not at all, but you know what happens. And I think bringing this Liverpool side in, you go back 2 years ago where they were going for a quadruple and effectively the last two or three weeks of the season defined so much of what was going to happen that year. And, you know, four competitions, two seconds and two firsts is an amazing haul. But because of the way the games went, it ended up with two defeats of the last two games. That experience, I think, is more important for this group than worrying about Liverpool and the expectations of winning titles, which in a Premier League era has only been done once. They haven't got that legacy to uphold anymore, I don't think, in that sense. But what they have got is a team of players who are used to winning trophies. And this time, the trophy that they are in the best position to win is the Premier League. So the pressure, if there is pressure, is more... Remember what you did 2 years ago? Remember how that panned out? You weren't in as good a position. But remember how he handled those last 4 or 5 weeks, as Gary said, not necessarily 9 weeks, those 4 or 5 weeks with big cup finals to play, big league games to play, and how close you came. And it wasn't your fault, because even last game of the season, the Premier League, they didn't lose. It wasn't that their fault that they didn't end up winning. It was because Man City won at the Etihad. So I think everything's in a good place without the legacy of having to be the title winners that we had in the 90s. It was so tough.
Yeah, I think... David's saying things like that. I mean, I think going back to like our time, I mean, I was 8 years at Liverpool, like on a great team in a golden era. And the lowest we ever finished was second. So we always had the belief if it wasn't happening that year, it would happen the next year. And it seems crazy when you think about it after 1990, when it was the last time we won the first division title, which obviously is the Premier League. It was 30 years. So like each year that like that happens, that you don't win anything or you don't win the league, the pressure like and it escalates and builds up and mounts up. And in a certain way, I felt sorry for the likes of J-Mo and the likes of McAteer and McManaman and these guys that
Fowler came
behind us. You know what? All quality individuals and quality team. Like, if you watch Liverpool at the time, they had some great games, and like some fantastic opportunities, but never quite managed to get across the line. And that kind of built the pressure. And now we're in a position where I think we're constant. We're in a position where we can compete on a regular basis. And it's about competing and getting over the line to make ourselves habitual winners. And that's the difference. Being competing at that level and being habitual winners. City have managed to do it. Keep our fingers crossed that we can do it.
And it's close. It's so close at the moment. That season, a couple of seasons ago, it almost felt in the title race. And I know that Liverpool were minutes away and you know, Villa were 2-0 up at the Etihad. But it always felt like City were just out of reach that season because Liverpool had to come from so far back. They left themselves so much to do. Yep. They were also in the Champions League, which we spoke about pre-match. I feel there's more energy left in the tank for the final stage of the season than there was 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, right at the top of the show, I mentioned the defeat to Manchester United on the last week, the last domestic weekend. I think that was a good thing because it kind of got rid of one of the competitions which 2 years ago perhaps might have got in a way. You know, it sounds mad that you want to win quadruples and all that stuff. I get that, but also it means you've got to focus on four different things. And I think the most important lesson of that was that this Liverpool team, which is consistently changing but managing to get through, were in a position to win that game twice and didn't, and therefore learnt the lesson that you can't just go in the lead and win every game. And if you're going to sacrifice something on this run-in, I think the FA Cup is one that you would happily sacrifice, providing you do get the Premier League at the end of it. So I think everything... I just think that everything is geared up for them this year. If you want to go romantic with Jurgen Klopp leaving, all that sort of thing. Everything is geared up for them. They're in a better position than 2 years ago, but there is still the competition. I think that's the best thing about it. There is still a competition. There's still three teams in it. If it's still 0-0, that's definitely still three teams in it. So the focus isn't purely on Liverpool or Man City being 4 points ahead or 3 points ahead with a game to play. Do you know what I mean? It's just nicely balanced.
The mantra from any dressing room that's trying to achieve anything at this stage of a season will always be next game, next game, next game. Brighton, we've spoken about a number of times, had the potential and have caused Liverpool problems in the past. There is obviously always plenty of focus on a game at Old Trafford, as there will be next weekend. Got to just take care of Sheffield United on Thursday night.
Yeah, again, it's the biggest game because it's the next game. Yeah. And that's how I think you have to approach it. I'm sure that's how the manager and the coaching staff will be drumming it into the players. I mean, the players have been here before. Like, they know what it's all about. Sheffield United looked doomed to me. I had a spirited performance this weekend, but again, conceded an awful lot of goals. If Liverpool turn up and approach the game in the manner which I expect them to do so, then I don't think there's anything down for Sheffield United.
It'll be interesting, though, to hear from the manager whenever he does his press conference next week. He spoke today about the atmosphere. I suspect he will drum that home again before the Sheffield United game, because what he won't want from everywhere else in the ground is just turn up here and think, oh, Sheffield United, this one will be fine. We've got bigger games to come.
Yeah, and I mean, I spoke about the atmosphere. Maybe you're alluding to me a little bit there as
no,
well.
No,
I think in a positive way, because I've been to many, many games, and you speak to, there's a lot of fans who will have that sort of pessimistic view, or the, you know, Brighton are a difficult team to play. I haven't heard any of that today. You know, 3-1 was the I didn't ask that many people, but 3-1 was like the presumed scoreline.
Of all three people that you asked, yeah.
Of all three, 100%, depending on what stats you want to use. But the point being is there was a confidence around here, and I could just feel it from the fans. And it wasn't like, oh, we've guaranteed the win. It's just, we feel confident with the team we've got. I think that changing room is a confident changing room. And I think when you sort of look at the fans, looking at the players on the field, doing their thing, then everyone helps each other. And I think that's the key thing. And one of the things that Anfield has over many other stadia in the world is, so the fans and the synergy between the fans and the players. So I think, yeah, I don't think there'll be complacency, but yep, I think there'll be the right level.
I think when you're sat in that dressing room and you're looking over and you're seeing like a Virgil van Dijk, or you're seeing like an Alexi McAllister or a Dominic Szoboszlai, or, you know, any of these sort of players, like even the Darwin Nunez or the Mohamed Salah, you've got to have confidence and great belief in like what you can achieve. And I think that's what all the great sides have. Certainly back in our day, I looked over like Peter Beardsley on his day, unplayable. John Barnes, probably the best player in the world at that given time. Alan Hansen, superb captain, superb centre-back. And you feel confidence and you get a buzz off of that, and you think, you go into these games and you're thinking, well, I'm pretty invincible here, or we're pretty invincible here. You're not, obviously, but if you've got that feeling, it's a heck of a feeling to have, and it certainly gives you a lot of hope and a lot of belief.
And on Manchester United, you touched on the cup game a couple of times, it feels like it'll be a different contest. It felt like two teams who obviously knew that it had to be settled that day, whereas Liverpool, in a different scenario next weekend, might think a point wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, given the scenario.
I don't think, and I totally listen to and hear what Gary's saying about nine games. It isn't, you know, there's a lot of times, quarter of a season effectively, isn't it? But I don't think Liverpool are in a position where drawing games is an option.
That's it from The Reaction for the moment. We're back at Anfield on Thursday for the Premier League game with Sheffield United. Join us for that one when we'll bring you more exclusive interviews and analysis. Until then, if you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye for now.